Hello and welcome to this special edition of Inside Sport. Tonight we devote the programme to the story of one of Britain's best and most controversial referees. Graham Pole announced his retirement last Monday, 27 years after he began. But the last year has proved to be the most high profile of them all. He sent off England captain John Terry. Chelsea players and others accused him of being arrogant and wanting to be the centre of attention. But it began with one of the most public refereeing mistakes in history, as he showed three yellow cards to the same player during the Croatia versus Australia match at the World Cup finals. That error cost him the chance to take charge of the final itself. And it was just days later that Graham Pole decided to allow us to document what turned out to be his last season. It's an emotional and revealing journey. You'll see the moment when he finally decided to give up his refereeing career, and you'll hear from his family. And for the first time, from Graham Pole himself, about the incredible stresses and strains a referee has to cope with. Gary Richardson has this exclusive insight, and perhaps not surprisingly for a no-holds-barred report about football, it does contain some strong language.
All eyes on the referee.
I don't think Graham Pole had any other option.
Well, there's trouble now for certain. Pole's got the card out.
51 days after his World Cup nightmare, Graham Pole's very next match is Colchester against Barnsley, and he's not looking forward to it.
Since the start of my 27th season as a referee, the first time ever in my career I'm actually driving to a ground and I don't want to go.
Not sure that Graham Pole knows quite where to go first.
Have you been arrogant on football pitches? Are you an arrogant man?
I'm a confident person.
But are you arrogant?
No, I'm not. Absolutely not.
That's one way of getting the ball back 10 yards.
When he's out on the pitch and there's 22 players and a stadium full of fans, when he makes a decision, it has to look that he knows what he's doing. He's got utter confidence in his decision making.
And Graham Pole has to run across again.
And I've got no problems with going to Colchester. I've refereed there many times. I did their last conference match to get them promoted, so it has good memories for me. And yet, I just have this overwhelming feeling of not wanting to be going to this game.
Referee Pole again turned around and saw it.
I was watching a game at Letchworth and Graham made a decision that one of the ladies didn't agree with, and she said, "That referee, he's a right bee." And I went up and said, "Excuse me, I can assure you he's not, he's my son."
Yeah, at Chelsea you sit in a bit with loads of Chelsea supporters and they always shout abuse at him a lot, so yeah, you do have to get used to it.
What you've got to aim for is respect, not popularity. The reason I'm a referee is I love football. I love football, and therefore I want to serve football well and do the job to the best of my ability.
Well, congratulations on your shortlisting for the World Cup.
Mr. Watson, thank you.
Terrific. So have a good day, boys.
The situation now is that if I continue my drive along here, I'm only 10 minutes away and I'm going to be there too early. And before it's never bothered me, but I just feel I'd rather sit in this lay-by on my own, thinking about things, I guess. I would hate for people to think the last memory of Graham Pole as a referee is in Stuttgart.
Graham Pole's third game of World Cup 2006. He's the man in the middle tonight.
It almost was as if that wasn't Graham. I there was something different. I mean, I've watched him for however many years and something was just not right.
And Graham Pole has issued a second yellow card to him.
I think there'll be a few more tasty challenges before this game's through.
You went to the World Cup, hopefully to do the World Cup final, but you made a dreadful mistake.
That was a yellow card for Josip Simunić. Simunić from Canberra.
A few days on, are you feeling real hurt and sadness inside at the moment?
Yes. It's... The mistake itself is bad enough. To do it publicly
in front of however many billion people watch it, it's indescribable. It's one of those things that you just couldn't make up. You know, life's not that cruel, is it? And yet it is.
An almighty tangle results in Kennedy crashing down in the centre circle, and Simunic picks up his second yellow card. That's been brandished already. I don't think Graham Poll has got the red out of his pocket yet. Well, there's confusion for you. All eyes on Graham Poll.
Why, when you cautioned him the second time, didn't you open your notebook and see that you'd already done it?
I don't know. I can't answer that.
Simunic, I'm certain, was yellow carded earlier on, and Graham Poll has forgotten about it. Black mark for the English referee.
The fact that Simunic speaks with an Australian accent, was raised in Australia and went through the Australian Football Academy. A journalist has told me that, to try and help me find a way. Because until I can, it doesn't feel that I can continue. It just doesn't feel right. I don't know. I honestly, just sitting here, 10 days on, I still don't know how or why it could happen.
Well, were Croatia to score now, we would have one of the greatest controversies the World Cup has seen.
I was so sure that he was right and the pundits had got it wrong that I was utterly convinced that he'd got it right, because he just doesn't make those kind of mistakes. It was so out of character.
I was obviously absolutely devastated for Graham. I still am, really. I just... sorry.
High drama in Stuttgart. Graham Poll at the centre of it. He's been dishing out cards like confetti. And as you see that, it's been ruled as a second yellow card for Josip Simunic. He should have been off a few minutes ago. It's actually his third. Nightmare for Graham Poll. The English referee hasn't covered himself in glory.
When you came off the pitch, were you told instantly you'd made a big mistake?
No, and that's what made it harder. We left the field completely unaware of what had happened.
A quite unbelievable game, it really was. It had everything, goalkeeping errors, refereeing errors to the point of which I've never seen before.
I can remember trying to ring him after the game, just kept trying and trying until I got through. And when I spoke to him, I can't remember what my first words were, but at the time I spoke to him, he was completely unaware of the whole mix-up.
So I went away, and our massage room was next door to have a massage. Obviously, it was the second big game in 3 days. And it was only towards the end of the massage when the referee liaison guy came in the room and said, "You better come back, there's a problem."
Did you know that he made the mistake?
Yeah.
And I appreciate you talking,
yes.
And it's difficult.
Yes, I did.
Did you?
Yes, I did, and I phoned to Julia straight away. And from then on, we had hours of texts and phone calls.
The DVD was put in. There was no remote control for the DVD, and so for the first 15 minutes, we watched players warming up before the start of the match. Still in disbelief. But as time passed, even though we weren't seeing the incidents we needed to, we started to think we must be wrong. And as that dawned over us, you just started to feel lower and lower and lower.
I was gutted for him. I could feel his pain with him, and I was really upset and gutted for him.
You sent him a text, didn't you?
Yeah, straight after the match, I sent him a text.
Just basically said, "I'm sorry, Dad. They're saying you got it wrong, but you never do. But you never do. So I'm sure you'll be right, but if you're wrong, we love you anyway." That was what she sent me, and that's a 12-year-old. You look at that and think, it doesn't matter. Football. And that's what brings you back 2, 3, 4 days later, is that love and support. You think, it is only football.
Nightmare for Graham Poll. The English referee hasn't covered himself in glory.
When you actually put it in perspective and you read a newspaper from the front to the back page, all right, Graham splashed across the back page, but the front page, I mean, you know, there's awful things happening all the time. And I think you do forget that sometimes. Football is just a game. I mean, I know it's a huge business and all the rest of it, but it is just a game, and he just made a mistake.
After Colchester, Graham took charge of matches at Arsenal, Fulham, and a couple of UEFA Cup ties. Then it was the Merseyside derby, Everton against Liverpool. Big match, big atmosphere. So how is he feeling now about refereeing?
The truth of the matter is, whilst I've not been enthused in the build-up or a couple of games in Europe, in the journey there and the preparation for the game, once I've gone over the white line to referee, I've refereed very well, to my satisfaction and to the assessor's satisfaction, to the player's satisfaction. And, you know, David Moyes on Saturday was very much, well done, Graham, we're glad you're carrying on. And it was heartfelt. You could tell it wasn't in order to gain a 3-0 win, obviously. I've still got to get through a major incident.
Will there be a major incident at some time in the coming weeks and months?
It has to happen.
But it did, and the incident couldn't have been bigger. Pole sent off England captain John Terry in the London derby between Spurs and Chelsea.
And Terry and King square up to each other, England colleagues. Graham Pole is not going to leave it there, and neither is Chimbonda, who wants a piece of John Terry. Lampard's trying to get in the way and calm it down. And Graham Pole has a problem on here. Well, there are five players out there who already have yellow cards, and there's a red card for John Terry.
I don't understand, but Mr. Paul now goes home, enjoy a good dinner with his family, and tomorrow is another day for him, and we lost the game, and he doesn't have to give his face to explain a few decisions.
Criticised by Chelsea players on the back pages, Ashley Cole had claimed that Paul had said, "Your team need to be taught a lesson." Terry claimed that Pole had given him two different reasons for sending him off.
Why Ashley Cole's had to come out and make certain claims, why John Terry's had to come out and say certain things, I don't understand. I really don't understand. And I'm left very disappointed with the situation because, as I say, the season started well and suddenly everything then is dragged up in the media that Graham Pole is a controversial referee, Graham Pole's, of course, the blunder referee from the World Cup. That is grossly unfair. And what makes it even more unfair is I am not permitted to speak in the media.
So you made a mistake?
I make mistakes. I do make mistakes. I don't think that I was wrong in that action at the time. I mean, I converse with John Terry on the field of play. I have done for years. I know. I mean, I was rebuked by a manager recently because his players told him I was calling John Terry JT. And he thought that was over familiar. And I had to agree with him. The thing that grates more than anything in this is I will make mistakes. If I was wrong to send off John Terry, then I was wrong. That was a genuine mistake. The implication behind all this is that I went out with an agenda before that match to teach Chelsea a lesson, to show them some discipline. That is implying I'm not impartial. And that's what hurts more than anything.
Because it's been a controversial free season up until last Sunday, mm-hmm. Did you think for one moment, did you think to yourself, I won't send Terry off because it's all been going smoothly and I know if I do, straight away I'll become the centre of attention. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Did you think of that for a split second?
No. No. And if you do, then you fail. I have to give decisions as I see them, as I see them as correct. I understand the ramifications of them. Of course I do. But I saw a situation which I believed was correct. I therefore took the decision that I believe was correct at the time.
So in your next match, if you need to send somebody off, if something happens, you're not going to think, oh, I did it last week against Chelsea. You will not hold back.
God forbid. I mean, surely it can't happen.
And 3 days after dismissing John Terry, Graham Pole sent off Everton's James McFadden. Keeping a camcorder diary, he was clearly upset in his hotel room the next morning.
I think the saying is, it doesn't rain but it pours. Well, Everton against Arsenal last night. Just what I didn't want to happen, happened. 20 minutes in, James McFadden, an Everton player, chased me for 20, 25 yards and shouted, "You fucking cheat." Clearly heard by Tim Cahill, an Everton player, and obviously heard by me. It's something referees cannot and must not ignore. I immediately stopped playing and sent him off. David Moyes, the Everton manager, who I've always felt I've got on well with, who came up to me in my warm-up, shook hands and said, just ignore them all. You know you're a great referee, keep going, before the game. And then after the game, wheels James McFadden into a press conference and comes up with a shot. Well, James said he said one thing and the referee says he said another. Who do you believe? That, for me, is a very, very cheap shot.
People say you are attention-seeking, you like the limelight. Are you attention-seeking?
The thought that went through my mind when I'm having to send off James McFadden, no choice, was, oh no, I know this is going to be back pages tomorrow. I didn't want that to happen, but I have a responsibility to referee properly with laws of the game. I have a very difficult job to do. I have to control those players. I have to do it the best way I can, and over the last 10, 12 years, that's been recognised as being highly efficient and highly effective. So therefore, the way I've done it, I think, has worked well for me.
Do you agree at sometimes, though, that you are arrogant? Have you been arrogant on football pitches? Are you an arrogant man?
I'm a confident person.
But are you arrogant?
No, I'm not. Absolutely not. I'm someone that actually, deep inside, is fairly insecure about things. In reality, of course, there have been times through my career where I've been petrified. I've been, you know, you go out to Galatasaray and you referee in that cauldron, and of course you're intimidated, of course you're frightened, but you can't let that show. So to overcome that, maybe you go a bit too far and appear arrogant.
Does it worry you that probably most people in the country would say, yeah, Graham Pohl, I don't like him? They wouldn't know you, but they'd go, yeah, I don't like him.
What you've got to aim for is respect. Not popularity. I have to command respect on the football pitch, so when I say stop doing that, they'll stop doing it. If that makes me unpopular out there, that's again a byproduct, and I am firmly focused in my mind on achieving the right result on the football field.
Boxing Day, Christmas 2006. I've done my running, no match today. First Boxing Day off in 25 years of refereeing. It was my match, Charlton against Fulham. It's tomorrow evening. This is it for us. This is what we do. Part of Christmas is taking it easy. Christmas Day, normally a game Boxing Day. But I'm very, very positive about things. Finally, I think we've turned the corner. Started to enjoy my games. We've enjoyed Christmas with the family. And we're raring to go tomorrow night, down at the Valley, for Alan Pardew's first game in charge. Happy Christmas.
Wednesday the 27th of December, 12:30, just returned home from Charlton Athletic against Fulham. I guess it typified what a year it was. For 90 minutes it was a cracking game, littered with mistakes by players but not by the match officials, until the second minute of stoppage time, with Charlton winning 2-1, a possible first victory in Alan Pardew's first game. Unfortunately, the assistant believes he's seen a handball, and he doesn't. As the referee with no better view, I have to take his signal and award the free kick. The ball's crossed in, it bounces around the box, and Frank Quedrew smashes it into the net, 2-2. Good result for Fulham, and injustice, obviously, for Charlton, as they would see it. We have to remember that what we gave was a free kick on the edge by the touchline of the pitch. Not a goal, but a free kick. The fact the ball was crossed in and they scored will go down as a big error by the match officials. When Alan Pardew came to see us, clearly disappointed, all we could do was apologise. He said he expected his players to be nervous, to make those mistakes, to make errors. He didn't expect the match officials to also succumb to the pressure.
What about managers? What are managers like? Which managers do you like working with that are good to you?
I mean, Sir Alex Ferguson has always been very, very good. The first couple of years, not. But the later on we went, I mean, now he's very, very supportive of me. And he says, if we have a big match, I'd like Graham doing that game, because we know we can trust him on the big matches, the big decisions. That's not to favour him. You know, you look at Man United, Arsenal this season at Old Trafford. a penalty against Man United and they lost 1-0.
But you don't think he's trying to influence you when he says that sort of stuff?
I think he did going back, and I think he now knows he can't. Yeah. And I think he just respects the fact that I am my own man, I do my own thing. Yeah. And maybe that's caused a conflict with Mourinho, because he thought maybe he could influence and now he knows he can't, and therefore he's got a bit of an issue with that. Yeah. I'd be naive to think that I can get on well with 20 managers in the Premier League throughout the whole season. It's just not going to happen.
Only they knew we do this to get abused. Wonderful world.
In January, Pohl took a short break to meet up with his close friend and former Premiership referee Graham Barber, who now lives in Spain.
As soon as the 1st of January came about, first game, I had the first live game, Liverpool-Bolton, went great. Saturday, another great game, 3-3, really exciting, West Ham and Fulham. Sure enough, difficult game with lots of cards and, you know, one sent off and the normal stuff in a tough game.
Saturday wasn't an easy game. 10 yellow cards, one red, 3-3, late goal, West Ham fans unhappy. You've come off challenged, feeling good. What sort of reaction have you had to that?
Well, I mean, the thing that was amazing, and you know, it's unusual in England to get a police escort away from the ground.
Yeah.
Getting the people carrier to follow straight in behind the Fulham coach, the aggression on the West Ham fans' faces, and that's, I mean, the abuse they're shouting, "You fucking arsehole, wanker," and "Just don't hope you die," and, you know, stuff like that, that you just look at and just think, the good thing about that is I now feel strong enough and resilient enough to cope with that again, like we always have done.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, 2 months ago, I couldn't have handled that. I'd have been in tears.
Yeah.
Almost unbelievably, in 1984-85 season, I refereed a final, a Hearts final, and I said to Mum afterwards, I said, in the year 2000, I'll referee the FA Cup final at Wembley. And uncannily, that's exactly what happened. I mean, just
you were always striving for the next step, you know. When you did Hearts County, you said, "Oh, I want to be on Isthmian League," and that you always had that drive and the goal. That was what you wanted, wasn't it, to improve?
Yeah. If they're playing football and want to get on with it, then let's let them get on with it. If they're making it difficult for us, we'll have to play the grass with the free kick.
What are you actually looking to do now when you do this?
Just making sure the net's fully secured so that a ball can't come in, miss and sneak in here, end up in the back of the net, and the pace of the ball, it's in the back of the net, I'm over there, assistance a long way away, you might end up giving a goal. So, I mean, this is done from the very, very first match I ever refereed back in 1980.
The first 2 or 3 months, Mum drove all the time, and I was learning to drive because I was just 17, and then after that I started to drive to the games, and then Mum used to drive home. I wasn't probably a good enough state to drive myself home. And at that stage, I think, you know, people, you know, we've looked at the abuse side of it and fans and that. It wasn't as bad. It was, you know, we're talking back in the early 80s. And so they are very, very much happy memories. But that's not to say that in 10 years' time, looking back at now, that they won't be happy memories, because you tend to block out some of the bad times.
No sign of Mr. Mourinho. Never mind.
I don't know the first time we even thought about Football League.
No.
Because when I started, it was just to referee a football
match.
Just
to referee on a Saturday, really, wasn't it? A Sunday.
And then to referee on the town ground was always a...
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah, ambition down at Stevenage.
Yes.
So new cup finals, the local cup finals were played there, and I remember having a nightmare there. It was one of my finest debacles, that was.
You know, when you think about it, in 20 minutes or so, we're going to be lined up in the tunnel waiting for the normal anthem to come on. The players are up for it. The adrenaline starts to go. You can't buy what I do, and that's why we do it. It's almost like playing. Almost, but without the ability. See you in a minute.
More games and more training followed. 7 months and 36 matches into the season, Graham was in Manchester to take charge of the FA Cup tie between United and Reading. In the hotel that morning, he announced his refereeing career was over.
FA Cup day, an exciting day always, and we're here in Manchester for the game 5:15 this evening, Manchester United against Reading. And I've come to a decision. After much umming and ahhing, I've decided that this will be my last season. Come the end of this season in May, I will officially hang up my whistle and become Graham Pole ex-referee.
He's going at Sidwell. Lays it off to Michael Carrick. Oh, it may well have been the last attack, but it's the one that counted.
And on his journey home from Manchester, daughter Gemma was his new interrogator.
But you must find it hard to give up after a good game like that with a big atmosphere and 70,000 people.
It just feels that I've been doing it 27 years, and yes, that's you know, has been a big part of my life, but it just feels like that the time is right to stop. To stop at the top, to enjoy the games this season, and then move on.
It just feels like a weight's been taken off in a way.
Yeah.
Although he has enjoyed it, he's had a lot of enjoyment from it over the years. The last season it hasn't been the same. He's just had a different feel about it, and he hasn't enjoyed it. And it's been sad watching him going to do what he's always loved doing and seeing that he's not getting as much pleasure from it.
There would have been times this season where he will have come back though and said, oh, I've had a great game today and I've loved being at Old Trafford or wherever.
I don't know so much this season. I mean, he loves being out on the pitch and he loves the rapport with the players and being part of that scene, but he hasn't had the buzz from it this season than he has in previous seasons. It's kind of like the gloss has been taken off it somehow.
Mm. You've made the decision. Do you feel sad?
No, not at all. Not at all. I never thought I would feel like I feel now. I'm so glad I didn't stop last summer. It feels very positive, and it feels I'm ready for the next challenge, and the next challenge isn't blowing a whistle. People always ask you, how on earth do you do it? How are you a referee? Why are you a referee? And doesn't it hurt you when you've got 60,000 fans chanting at you, you know, the referee's a wanker? Well, that's what we do is we disassociate ourselves with that. That's not Graham Pole. They don't know who Graham Pole is. It's the referee is a wanker, or who's the bastard in the black. It's not a personal thing, and so therefore it doesn't affect you. This season, the chant from the home fans, which is of course 90-95% of the spectators, the chant for me is World Cup and you fucked it up. And that is difficult to ignore because you know it's true. But that's been something this season which has been different for me. I've been unable to disassociate myself with that situation, and that clearly affects my enjoyment of refereeing that game and also takes your concentration away from key decisions.
While Pole found the World Cup chants hurtful, now, almost a year on, even he can have a wry smile about his three-card mistake. Speaking at a dinner with Pierluigi Collina, the world's most famous ref, Pole can see the funny side.
Without a doubt now, refereeing at the very top level is, I would say, the ultimate challenge. You're out there with 22 highly paid, well, multi-millionaires, to be honest, who you have to control with a whistle. And two, well, sometimes three, cards. It's impossible to explain what it feels like to stand in the tunnel before a massive, massive match. Before you know there are 75, 80,000 people in the stadium, there are 28 cameras that are going to be trained on that match. Those players, you can smell the adrenaline. It's there, and you know, no disrespect, but the hair on the back of my neck. Sorry, I shouldn't have done that. But it's something which the best way to describe it is this: Roman Abramovich, with all his money, he buys Chelsea Football Club. Fantastic. He buys fantastic players, he buys a superb coach. If he wanted to, he could play centre-forward for Chelsea Football Club. He could. He could be the captain, he could lead that team out. But what he can't do is referee that match. He can't lead those teams out, because that's the one thing money can't buy.
Do you believe that the FA should support referees more than they do, Graham?
Absolutely. It's what we look at is the FA are the custodians of the game. They're the people that run the game. I think the first thing they have to do is be seen to support referees absolutely to the hilt. You know, and when you're sending off the England captain, it's taken them 2 weeks to deal with something which he's dealt with off the field, and they're reluctant to take action. How's that supporting the referee? And it almost became a battle of England's top referee versus England's playing captain. That shouldn't happen. That really shouldn't happen, because what that's letting down is the people at the grassroots level, and that's what I'm concerned about. I've got stewards, police and everyone to protect me, so an actual physical assault is highly, highly unlikely. Local park, it's highly likely. And that is all because the referee is not a respected figure anymore, and that is down to the FA.
It's a yellow card, there's no question. Graham Parr's got to do that. Well, Ferguson has joined the debate down there on the touchline, and that's not anything to do with a friendly, is it?
Good old Graham Parr, eh? We've all come to watch him again.
Oh, and now Eagles has got himself involved down here with Sean Wright Phillips. John Terry is bounding in there towards the referee. People are pulling players away. And suddenly this game has exploded. That's a yellow for him.
And Mourinho's on at the referee now.
He's come out to make a gesture towards Graham Poll. And Graham Poll walks across to the touchline. And I think Mourinho's in trouble.
Well, you just know that Graham Poll will have the last word.
Yeah, you have to try to motivate yourself and to motivate the players. I think Alan Smith is a good boy for that, and I think Mr. Paul too. I think he's also a good referee for this kind of matches, because he makes so many mistakes, people gets angry.
Well, following last night, I'm unfortunately back page once again.
What exactly happened with Mourinho last night then?
It was it's not an atypical situation in that a manager gets frustrated at certain times in the game when his team aren't playing as he wants them to, and he shouted some abuse at me.
What did he say?
He just looked across, why don't you just fuck off? Which okay, is not something that's particularly pleasant, but it's not uncommon. He's not the only manager that do that.
What do you feel about him now? Did it get quite confrontational, because there was a thought that you'd actually sent him off? Did you send him off?
He knows what he said to me was just absolutely disgraceful.
What did he say?
To be honest, I wouldn't repeat what he said.
But what did he say?
I've thought long and hard about this, and I wouldn't repeat what he says. It's disgraceful. What he said, the personal comment about myself and the opposing manager was just, and I was that shocked. He knew he went too far, and he went and sent himself off before I had any opportunity to.
But managers have abused you in the past, and you've always sort of handled it. So why was it unacceptable last night?
Just the personal, the very, very personal nature of what he said and suggested was something which I never thought I would have the misfortune to hear around a football field. Mm.
And I suppose, having seen the newspapers and its back pages again, you won't miss that next season, will you?
I won't, and certainly my family won't. It's something they've had enough of. I don't ask for that, I don't look for that. I go out to do the job the best way I can. But it seems that whatever I do, it's making news, and some of it is just because it's me.
And so, after 27 years as a referee, Graham Poll's career finished at Wembley last Monday.
So, this is it. Wembley Stadium. Monday the 28th of May. And here we are for the playoff finals. As Wembley is behind me, so is my career. 1,553 games gone, one to go. And if you'd have told me 1 year ago today, when I was just in Germany, that I'd be finishing my career 1 year later, I'd have laughed at you.
It's over, and I leave with no regrets at all. It's been a great journey, it's been so exciting. I've really enjoyed my refereeing career. It's been fantastic, great journey.
Wembley Stadium emptying, 1740. It's gone ever so well. Derby County promoted to the Premiership, and Poley signing off 1,554 games later.
340 days since Stuttgart when I stood in a centre circle, cried my eyes out, but this one I'm happy. It's been a great career. I've really enjoyed myself, but it's time to go. Thank you very much and good night.